Hello and welcome to WB40, the weekly tech podcast with me, Matt Ballantyne, and Chris Weston. Hello again, Christopher. It's been a while.
It has been a while, hasn't it? We've been all over the place.
More all over the place than usual. So we've both been away by the sea. Hopefully people enjoyed last week's slightly more abstract from Silicon Beach episode. For anybody who did listen to that and was wondering about the Eagles metaphor, it was Vladimir getting the wrong thing as he was talking. He's explained it since, and what he meant was turkeys. If that doesn't make any sense at all, I can suggest you go back and listen to episode 39, because it was fab. Anyway, I got back from Bournemouth in one piece, and then you went off to Southampton and off on the IT Directors Forum for a few days last week.
I did, a little bit like, so we did this, I lasted it in May, didn't we? And we did a little bit of a recap. And actually this year I was on the Finance Directors Forum, Matt. I was talking to FDs about blockchain, about what might be coming their way. It just happened to coincide with the IT Directors Forum on the same vessel. And I did also do a session with the IT directors because, of course, it was a bit rough going out. And one of the speakers was ill. They got seasick.
Oh dear!
I'm not entirely sure whether because of the way that forum often works.
Which day seasick. Was it that they got seasick? Was it on the first day, or was it on the second or third?
It was on the Thursday morning. On the first morning.
Yes.
Now it was quite rough in the evening, but seasick could just mean sick and at sea, it might have been a late night. Although that would be casting aspersions. So I actually covered a session. For the IT guys as well on digital disruption, which is, I guess, within my comfort zone. And it was a couple of weeks ago where I went to Moldova and ended up covering a session for a colleague because they weren't very well. So I'm becoming a bit of an expert at being second choice.
You are the 12th man of IT strategy and stuff. That's fantastic. Because, of course, actually, this podcast owes its very existence to the IT Directors Forum, because that's where you and I first met.
So it is, that's right.
Nearly 4.5 years ago.
Was that how long ago it was?
Yeah.
Seems like longer than that.
I know, it does. I have that effect on people. We're going to talk a bit more about that in a bit. But since you got back from Happy Southampton, how's life been? Have you been at anything else interesting?
Yeah, I've been thrust back into the hurly-burly of contract IT helper life, and this week I've been in Birmingham, and I've got I'll go up to Manchester the rest of the end of the week. It really is non-stop. In fact, it's great fun, lots of things going on, and really interesting stuff. You know, people want to talk about so many really cool things, but there is a lot of it. A fact about which I'm not complaining.
Yeah, I know the feeling at the moment. It's all gone a bit ballistic. I mean, the thing I've been working on today has been sometimes you start with a half decent title and everything else falls around into it. I don't know if this is a half decent title or not, but I'm writing this thing for a kind of short piece of sort of training, I guess, for non-technology people about the world of data, and calling it Lies, Damn Lies and Infographics, and trying to be able to, in a couple of hours or a couple of two-hour sessions, be able to give people a primer in what they need to know about all the hype and the bullshit around data and big data and artificial intelligence and machine learning and all the rest of it. So it's quite nice being able to just spend some time thinking about how would I approach this if I knew nothing, which of course is basically my usual opening gambit for most things. So we'll see where that goes.
Yeah, it's a good title, Matt, in many ways. Not in others, but in many ways it is a good title. I was toying with the idea of calling my session something to do with bollock chain on the basis of what was talked about it, but I rode back at the last minute. I just couldn't make it work. I just couldn't make it scan, really.
Yeah, it's not really a very sweary place on that boat in the formal sessions either, so I don't think necessarily you'd have got away with that one.
No, maybe not. Although I did get the largest round of applause during my session when I kind of went off piece a little bit and said that, remember JP Morgan, the guy from JP Morgan talked about Bitcoin, about the fact that nobody would be allowed to trade in Bitcoin because it was a fraud. And And although they're investing in blockchain, it was very, very down on Bitcoin. And I was reminded that, of course, that JP Morgan paid $13 billion in fines to the US government for their part in the fall of the world economy and selling subprime mortgages, etc. And my aside was something like, so JP Morgan can fuck off. And that was the best the best response I got.
Oh man, yeah, accountants, they're an odd breed. So whilst you weren't in the bar at the boat, what were you to actually, well, even when you were in the bar, I guess, what were the sorts of things that were coming up amongst the IT directors and the finance directors as sort of topics of importance at the moment?
Certainly a lot of still talk about cloud transformation, and that appears to be suddenly a thing that is big. So not cloud is not a new thing, is it? But people are starting to get to those points in the cycle where the tin that they bought, when last time it would have been an shall we do cloud, shall we buy tin? Now they're getting around to the point where that tin that they bought is starting to come to end of its life, and the decision is far less easy, and in many more cases is a cloud decision. So people thinking about cloud transformation are looking for skills around cloud transformation, which are actually quite hard to find. So yeah, there was a lot of talk about
Are they talking about it in the context of a technology transformation, or is it more of a actually, a more holistic thing about actually thinking about how you change the way in which IT is delivered? Or
In the main, it's just a swap out of tin you own into tin you rent. And you're right, there is a missed opportunity there in many cases. But sometimes it's just about how much of the elephant can you bite off at once? You know, organisations can sometimes only just figure out and get their heads around the thing that about moving from this tin to that tin, and then they can.
Yeah, but it's the faster horses problem then, though, isn't it? It's the you know, that old, not actually said, but I looked this up recently. It wasn't Henry Ford who ever said it, but the idea about if people had asked what they wanted from a horse and carriage, they'd have said faster horses. I think it's more than a missed opportunity. It is putting a limit on the number of days that IT departments will still exist, quite frankly, because they'll just put themselves into a position where they're delivering services in totally the wrong way.
Yeah, and I certainly had quite a few conversations about the role of the IT team and where it belongs, and the role of the CIO, the role of the IT director, you want to call that. And then, of course, there was another big discussion around data and GDPR. So, and I think we've got an interview that I recorded with a guy on there that we can have a listen to. I'm here with Simon Morrissey, and Simon is the head of data and privacy at Lewis Silkin. He's talking about GDPR to some of the delegates here, and it's been an interesting couple of days for you.
It has. Asked lots of questions. In particular, what do we need to do? And that's a bit of a challenge at the moment, because we have the law, but what we don't have is the guidance in how to apply that law. So in some areas, I think we have got some certainty, but in other areas, we are in the world of the unknown, or at best, reasonable assumptions. In terms of what people need to do.
I mean, I've seen a lot of this myself, talking to different organisations about GDPR, and just asking the question, are we going to get fined? Is the world going to end? Are we going to be, the ICO going to burst through the doors on such and such a date and take us all away, or stop us trading? Do you think the hype has gone too far, or do you think actually that maybe the information around GDPR maybe hasn't gone far enough in terms of its reach to people? How do you think the balance is struck?
There are certainly people out there who are still refusing to engage with it. They are still, unfortunately, putting their head in the sand a little bit. But this year we've seen a really big uptick in terms of people making inquiries of us what is this new law? What do we need to do? Can you come in and talk to us about it? And that uptick really has taken place from really Q2 of this year. Last year, we were getting very few inquiries, only really from clients who were in regulated sectors, like pharmaceuticals, financial services. But outside those regulated sectors, and in particular sectors like retail, they have been very significantly behind the curve. That's beginning to change, and even retailers now are doing some preparatory work around what they need to do to comply.
Wow, I mean, that's, I mean, we really are up in, you know, up against the last few months, aren't we? So
we are.
For those organisations that have got large customer databases and are just now starting to think, well, should we do something about it? I expect there'll be one or two examples made early doors.
I think that's right. Although our commissioner, Elizabeth Denham, has gone on record, she's quite a frequent blogger, very different from our previous commissioner, who he did a lot of public speaking, but he never blogged, as it were. I'm not aware that he did. Elizabeth Denham does blog, and in one of her very recent blogs, she did go out of her way to say, you should not be worried about her agency coming in and levying 4% of global turnover fines any day soon. But we are going to see an increase, I think, in the average value of a fine. We're certainly going to see a seven-figure fine, I think, quite quickly, possibly within a year or so of GDPR coming into effect next year. And a little-known fact, which I think is really important for people to understand, is that there's going to be more public enforcement. At the moment, a lot of companies do get into trouble with the ICO, and it's all dealt with in private correspondence. There is no public record of there being a problem. That is going to change. And it's not just me saying that. The ICO themselves have said that. So a lot more naming and shaming and hanging businesses out to dry. And that, I think, is as important a game changer as an increase in the average value of a fine.
Okay. And there's another piece of legislation as well, which is something that passed me by, to be fair, and it's the splendidly named PECA legislation. Is that something that's come up on the rails that people have missed?
It's a bit like the elephant in the room. It's almost... We saw a psychologist do a diversion tactic
on the
stage.
Earlier, one of the earlier talks here.
And the GDPR has actually worked in that kind of way. It's diverted people's attention away from PECA, which is slated to be changed, and you know, the aspiration is it will be changed next year to coincide with the GDPR coming into force. And so everyone is focused on GDPR, but if you're doing any kind of online marketing, if you are running a technology business, you've got to look at PECA. Any kind of online service, if you're a communications provider, not just an old-fashioned telco, that piece of legislation now extends to over-the-top services. It's a big piece of legislation, and I would say it's at least as impactful as the GDPR.
So do you think that after your sessions here, have people gone away more worried than they came in?
No, because I think my particular focus is not to see these changes in compliance terms. It's important that people understand that at the heart of all law, there is a compliance underbelly. But what I've been trying to explain to delegates is that when there's a big change in the rules like this, there are opportunities. There are opportunities for the supply chain, and there are opportunities for the businesses who engage those suppliers to look after and use their customers' data. So focus on the opportunity element of the GDPR and the strategy choices that you're going to need to make and decisions, rather than just thinking, this is all about compliance, I'm not interested, or it's a job for legal. It's not. It's going to engage quite a number of different stakeholders in the business, because those different stakeholders will need to make strategic decisions.
Interesting stuff. Thanks to Simon for having your microphone thrust into his face. Very good of him. Slightly less bleak output than when we spoke to Kate Bevan about this stuff a few weeks back. Kate seemed to be of the view that if you're even thinking about what your plan might be now, you're too late and you're doomed. I think that was a slightly less scary take from Simon, but still, you know, if you're not on top of your Data Protection Act stuff pretty well, which I think a lot of organisations still aren't, there's a rocky ride coming over the next few months.
Yeah, I think Simon was working on, you know, on that less frightening aspect was really talking about organisations that have got the DPA sorted out and but yet haven't looked at gap analysis or whatever around GDPR. I think if you asked him, what about organisations that don't really have DPA in place, he probably would be a little less sanguine about that. And of course, he did mention the PECA regulations that are being updated this year. And as he said, that he thinks it's something that's probably maybe lost in the GDPR noise, but is equally important.
Yeah, it's. I think, I mean, one of the things that came up in the conversation we had with Kate a few weeks back was this idea, though, about actually can organisations use this actually as a competitive advantage rather than just the, you know, that grim, oh God, more regulation, that is the way in which most, I think, take it. And I'm still hopeful that we will find examples where people are actually thinking about this from how can we use this as a way to actually get advantage rather than regulation, red tape, which is the sort of standard response.
Yeah, it's a it is a tricky one, but as you say, if you're agile enough and flexible enough to look around and think, actually, the road I am on is now becoming more difficult. Let's try and find a different path, which is better for me and better for everybody else, rather than just keep trudging on through the mire and just complaining about it. That is probably a better way.
So as we've mentioned already, this is that was it, wasn't it, for the IT Directors Forum and the Finance Directors Forum running on the good ship, whatever it is, the P&O cruise liner that would chug out of Southampton and sit on the outskirts of the islands of Guernsey for a while whilst everybody got very drunk on the inside. A couple of conversations you had with people thinking about the ITDF and what it's meant for them over the years.
Yeah, it was there's 190 something voyages that Richmond have run over the years in this country and abroad over the last 20 years or so. So to be on the last one is definitely the end of an era. So I did talk to some people from the supplier side and the delegate to find out what they were thinking. I'm here with Richard Blanford, who has been doing this event for, a number of years. One of the oldest hands on here, Richard. What do you... what do you think about the last ITDF?
Personally, a little sad actually, because we've enjoyed it immensely. It's been very good for us. I've been on it at least a dozen times. I think it's 12 or 13. And as a company, we've been, I think, 16 or 17, we counted up. So we found it, as a supplier, a very good way of meeting and finding new business customers. It's one of our major marketing spends each year. And looking back, between a third and half of all our new customers, when we look back, we can normally trace them to an initial contact that came through the IT Directors Forum or some contact that we made through this. So for us, you know, it's of its type, we believe, the best event going. And as it goes into the new format, we're on board and looking to try it out and see if it's as effective as it used to be.
It's certainly been something that's it's well known amongst the people that come. You know, it is well loved, isn't it? And also the fact that there's quite a good social side to it as well. People get to know each other on here, don't they? And that builds some, I think, some quite good relationships between customers and suppliers.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of our success in getting customers is from meeting people the second or the third time at the event. So often we make a first contact and they think they may be useful, but might not be the right appropriate time. They might have existing, but they might see it. A particular example is a contract that we won recently, where it was the third time we met a particular individual through the IT Directors Forum, he'd changed all companies or organisations in the interim between the last time we'd met him, turned up in a new place and said, I need to find a new supplier. I thought of you guys, it's great you're on a boat, and literally two weeks after we attended, a tender came, which we won, and you know, gave us a very substantial 5-year contract. So, you know, it's the format that allows people to both get to know each other, business and of its type. One of the things I really like is that they give you long enough at the business meetings, and it's fairly relaxed over meal time, so you can actually get to talk to people.
Yeah, it is quite unique, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes out and from here. Well, thank you. Thanks for the chat. Okay. So it's the last day of the event, and I'm with Kim Van Rooyen of Turner & Townsend. Kim has been here on a number of occasions as a delegate and a speaker. So how's this been for you this time, Kim? What's the technology people are talking about? What have you taken away?
Thanks, Chris. You know, it's been really actually a fantastic forum. And the conversation in the street has been really interesting, actually. I came here with one agenda, or sort of thinking the way the market was going, but actually having conversations with a lot of peers and suppliers and so on, I've actually been wrong. Okay, so it's actually been really interesting. The move towards cloud is a lot more significant than I thought it was. I'm very, very surprised with that. So it's certainly got me thinking. The second thing is, there was a lot of talk about GDPR, and I was expecting to have a lot more conversations about GDPR. But it is a worry. But I think a lot of people have actually got their GDPR in hand. So that was sort of my taking away, that people have actually done a bit more about it. Now, there might be a perception that everybody's trying to say that they've done it, but there weren't any certainly tough questions, or people didn't appear to be saying, I've got a problem with X, Y, and Z. So, absolutely been a fantastic time, and certainly sad that this is probably our last one that we will be doing on a boat.
Well, certainly, because they have to book them up like a year or so in advance, and they haven't, so we're definitely not happening next year. And because it really has been a unique event over the years, hasn't it? And what will be the things you'll miss about it in terms of an event of this sort? What do you think are the unique things about being on this boat, and the kind of format of the event, and the kind of people you meet? What are the things you think will be the things that you can't replicate anywhere else?
Well, I think the things you can't replicate will be the, I don't want to say the isolation, because that's the wrong way of saying it, but the fact that you're a closed community for, you know, effectively what is 2 days and 3 nights. Okay, and that sort of and not really having access to technology. So while people might think it's negative and so on, but it's actually really positive, because even though we're all techies and we're all involved in these things and so on, actually having that time to focus and have a good conversation with people, see the whites of their eyes and so on, I think might be difficult to replicate when we're on land. I think the other thing that was fantastic about a boat is the proximity of where everything is, and you know, you're moving into a different venue each time. You know, one moment you're having a session inside, you know, a movie theater, then like now we're sitting in the crow's nest and we've got this amazing sunset out there. You know, you're just not going to get that with the sea, you know, that kind of stuff when you're on land. I'm sure, you know, the next location will take those things into consideration, it's just certain atmosphere about being on a boat. In terms of delegates, I sincerely hope that all of those that have come will continue to come. I think that conversation with everybody is really, really so important. But I just hope that whenever we move to a new location, that camaraderie, talking to your peers, you know, having the suppliers, you know, together, being able to go and have a, you know, good evening with everybody, and just actually forget about work, is so invaluable. And this environment enables that. And I just hope that wherever this goes in the future, we'll be able to replicate it.
Yeah, there's a kind of continuity about this event, isn't there? You tend to get people invest in it in the longer term from a supplier point of view, but also people invest their time over the years from a delegate point of view as well, don't they? And people don't come every year necessarily, but they do return, and they, as you say, that they meet people they've met before. And I mean, I certainly, when I've come as a delegate, every single time I've come on this event, I've gone away with one or two ideas
And it might be technology, or it might be just management, or it might be a business philosophy or something that I think to myself, I must do something about that every single time.
Absolutely. I tell you, I think this event in my mind is my biggest learning experience of the year. It's my top up. So I kind of think it's to use analogy, it's a bit like an incremental backup. You know, you've got all this data over time, not quite backing up, but you got the idea in terms of what I was just saying. But it's absolutely fantastic to be able to just bring yourself up to speed, but to hear from your peers what their challenges are and how they've addressed it. Speak to a supply chain that understands problems and comes with solutions. And just say, just building those relationships that you know you can call. And you know, over the years, I've built up some fantastic relationships, and I know that I can, you know, reach out at any time to pretty much any one of those people in any of those organisations, like with name to face, and we can help each other.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Having those face to face conversations, watch their eyes. Sometimes it's over dinner, and sometimes it's in one of these sessions here in the Crow's Nest or wherever it is in the ship, and sometimes it's in the bar having a beer. But you build that relationship, and you know, actually, you know, as long as that relationship is built and you get on well with that person, you think, actually, this is a credible person. It's a much more long-lasting relationship, isn't it, and a far more valuable one.
And I said, do you know, it just as an aside, I tell you, the cheese and wine with Steve Parker. Okay, I really have to say
it is legendary.
He is legendary, and I think what's really been useful, and this is a side sort of benefit, is that the cheeses and wines has actually helped enable me to have a better conversation with people. So I've actually felt more informed. So you know, there are all these subtle other learnings. So it's not all just around IT. There's other things around, you know, being on the cruise ship that is actually fantastic. You know, where else do you get to learn to do, you know, have a bit of poker and roulette, right. And you've got, you know, fruit machines, and then, you know, not everybody goes to karaoke, but you know, but there's lots of activities, and those activities supplement the whole experience, and that's why I say it actually almost feels like a holiday in some ways, because you're learning, you're meeting great people, and you can relax.
Yeah, and there's some great sessions. I mean, we had the guy from Mars One, didn't we, today?
Oh, that was...
and that's just brain food, isn't it? And the idea, I think, is if you can expand your brain in these very different ways, whether it be learning about how they make certain types of cheese or wine, or maybe it's about learning about why they're going to send a bunch of people to Mars never to return, it is brain food, and it helps you stay active, and hopefully, you know, it makes some more room for some more IT stuff to fall in there as well as a consequence.
Well, I think it certainly gets your brain thinking, because I enjoyed all the keynotes. I think the keynotes were absolutely brilliant, and I took away something from every single one of them, which I know I am going to be putting into, you know, what I do now. So actually, you know, that's what I mean about it's an enriching experience. So I'm absolutely convinced, you know, I know there's no more cruises, but wherever we go, I just hope that spirit carries on. I just hope with the way that people do things, you know, in terms of having, you know, the good keynotes, the good breakout sessions, the good, I was going to say CPD sessions, but, you know, where people have been sharing their experiences. I mean, we had a wonderful session here on Graham Dairy. Okay, I mean, that was amazing. You know, just the fact that, you know, that business has transformed itself over the last, you know, whatever, 76-year-old dairy to be all a complete Microsoft platform. You know, who else has done that? And that just, you know, got me thinking. And it's what it does is it just stimulates and moves you on to that next little bit of, you know, bringing solutions. And it's wonderful. I love it. And just carry on babbling on about, you know, all the great things. But I definitely will leave here, you know, in terms of knowledge, and far richer than what I did when I came on board, whatever, 2 days ago.
I feel a little sense of welling up a bit at the idea that never again will I be able to experience free booze on a boat.
Well, it wasn't always free in my experience. And let's not pretend, Matt, that it was just an enormous piss up. It was an enormous piss up and other things. But I do think, yeah, there's a real sense of end of an era amongst the people, especially amongst Richmond Events team, actually. I mean, they're all completely keyed up for the new ITDF, etc., and they run a lot of successful land events. So, you know, they're very positive about that, and I think they think it's the right time to end. But as you heard from Kim, there are some really unique aspects to that event. The fact that you are removed from your normal environment, and you really have, because you've committed the time, then the conversations you have are just that bit more focused on the moment and the thing you're talking about, rather than, you know, how many times have you sat in your office talking to somebody from another company, and half your mind's on the phone call that you just had before the meeting, and about a third of your mind's on the phone call you've got to have after the meeting, and what's left isn't really good enough to invest in the conversation you're having. So, yeah, I think there's a real sense that there are some important benefits, and it will be interesting to see how those guys transfer those to the land. Because it is still the best organised conference out there, and as long, and if they can take that organisation and the value of some of those other sessions to land, then it'll still be an excellent event. But yeah, definitely a sort of passing over to a new world.
Yeah, I think it certainly made me think more broadly about the sorts of events that exist within, I guess, the more traditional IT world. And because I sort of span across various different disciplines these days, you know, I go to kind of pure marketing type or digital marketing type things that tend to be more in the sort of things like Silicon Beach the week before. I've been to HR conferences, which are as dull as you could want to wish, even though they should be talking about some of the most exciting stuff in organisations, quite frankly. But, you know, that's the HR profession for you. I think, though, that the IT industry has got a bit of a challenge now, because actually most, you get developer events, which tend to be a bit more yee-haw and a bit more funky, but actually the content can be incredibly dry, because it can literally be how to code a thing. You've got the stuff that's aimed at kind of leadership within this world, though, I think is a bit of a crossroads at the moment. You've got the first party events, you've got the kind of the Gartner symposium, you've got stuff that LEF do and others, where people have got a very high price of admission for the most part, because you have to be a subscriber to one of those services before you get through the door. And then you get to be able to listen to experts talk a lot about their expertise from the research and whatever they've been doing. You've got free to get into events, the likes of which, you know, CIO Magazine or Horizon or those guys do. And they can be very good, but they can also be absolutely killed by the business model. And the business model there is basically it's paid for by sponsors, and the sponsors get the right to be able to do some of the talks. And you usually get a few that are okay, and you will usually get at least one where by the end of it there will be tumbleweed going across the room as they've completely mispitched it and done a hard sell on something, you know, mostly irrelevant. And I've seen that happen again and again and again. And you kind of go, yeah, this is the cost of admission, this is the cost of admission. But it can really do horrible things to what could otherwise be a great event. You've got like smaller networking things, and you and I have both been doing some stuff with the 360 club, which they have a single sponsor, and the single sponsor has been sponsoring it for ages, and so therefore no, they don't have to do a hard sell because they're the only sponsor in the room. And that's an interesting model, although the caliber of speakers is a bit crack, because they get people like you and I in, and at a serious level they don't pay for anybody to speak, as far as I can tell, and that is also a kind of barometer of where the event sit. And what it makes me wonder is actually whether the part of the challenge is there's too many people expecting to make too much money out of events in the IT industry, and nobody's willing to pay to go to events anymore. And that's a double whammy then, because it means that you've got very high pressure to be able to get a return for a highly invested event, where actually, to be honest, the reason people are there is to do networking, is to meet other people and maybe get a bit of content thrown at them. But that's not how any of these events... I mean, if you look at it from a user needs perspective, getting all GDS on your ass, I'm not sure that most events in the IT world really do anything to serve the needs of the people who are the...
Well, they're not the customer, are they? If I think back to that, the kind of platform business thing that I always talk about in YouTube, everybody uses YouTube thinks they're a customer, but the only customer is the person that pays, and that's the advertiser. And the same with the conference. The people that are speaking are getting their platform, they're getting what they want out of it, ostensibly, and the people that go, you know, me and you or whatever, as delegates once upon a time, you know, walking around being sold to and networking, you're kind of getting what you want out of it. You're going to a place, it's a different place. You might get a cup of tea and you'll get to talk to some people and it doesn't cost you anything. But the people that really, it's arranged for the benefit of the people trying to flog stuff. And where you get slightly different events, like the name is not numbers type thing, where you have to pay to go, and it is genuinely done for the kind of edification of everybody involved, that's a different it's a different kind of thing, isn't it? I mean, the ITDF, without trying to be blow too much smoke up the ITDF, when I've been as a delegate, I used to go regular as a delegate because I would get so much out of the keynotes, now the speakers, now the what they call the personal development sessions, because they were good. They were really good. Before they started getting people like me and you on, they were really good. And you would listen, you would think, wow, I'm going to take that back. And that every single time I went, even if I was really busy and I went, I would think, oh, you know, am I really going to get value out of this? And I always come back buzzing about one, two or three things I'd learned. And then, you know, you'd get to meet some suppliers you'd maybe met before, but not met before. And you'd meet some people you'd not met before as well. But it was that kind of inspirational stuff, I guess you'd say, or that would be the stuff that took me back. So where you've got events, I don't think it's impossible to create an event paid for by sponsors that does that, but it's got to be really well organized, because how many times have you been to a show, wandered around, seen lots of little desks with people crowded around them, and you think, well, I could go and speak to those guys, but you know what, I'll just pick up a leaflet, I'll have a read, and because there's too many people there at the moment and I can't be bothered to barge my way through. And then, you know, you never really know what you're going to do next. Maybe you'll see somebody you know, or maybe you'll have a chat to somebody, or the, you know, it's just not a very good experience, really. And also, you are, because of the way they are sold, because they are sold to a certain type of vendor looking for a certain type of audience, those are the people you're only going to meet. It's not like a Silicon Beach that you did, or an Amazon Numbers, or those kind of multidisciplinary things where you'll just meet people from other things. I mean, ITDF, you could meet people from other things, but you are still pretty siloed in your streams. So IT now is not just about IT, is it? Good grief. How many times have we talked about this on this podcast? It's all the ubiquity of consumer tech, and the fact that even though Gartner didn't get it right, that marketing people are really spending a lot of money on IT compared to what they used to. And there's a lot of money spent on technology, which is outside the IT department. All those things really should be recognised in the kind of events that we go to now.
And I think that's the thing, coming back to your point about audience, is that I think that's the thing that's missing in the IT, and certainly the IT leadership world. All of the events are there to serve the needs of the sponsor. And the thing that, because the cost of entry, the expected price of attendance these days is zero, we're trapped in that. And that's, I think, a really big issue, because it means that everything gets focused on just selling the same old shit to the same old people. And you might get some reasonably useful stuff, but actually to get things that are going to take people outside of where they are thinking now into things like how do you use service design to rethink your IT service, that stuff just isn't going to get airtime until it's so well established. And then, you know, and that's the lack of the debate that is going on in the IT leadership world about how we should be running this stuff now. And I think partly is because we don't have those forums to be able to have those conversations.
Maybe we should set them up, Matt. Maybe we should provide these and charge people a large amount of money, because yeah, I always think if you give something away, then people don't value it. We can charge people a large amount of money, and all of our listeners could come and we could provide them with a quality experience.
Oh my God. Either we've just launched WB40 Live, or I will remind myself of what it was like working at one of the world's greatest events agencies and was an utter ball ache organising events. but anyway, if you're interested in WB40 Live, then let us know and we'll see what we can do. What have we just let ourselves in for?
Well, what a return to form, eh?
Oh, yeah, it's like England playing international football.
Oh, dear. I wish you hadn't said that. Fairly grim when we just about managed to get through it at the last minute.
Exactly, yeah. Woo. Oh, but, yeah, no, another one. It's nice to be back into it, but I did enjoy doing some stuff differently with the show last week, and I think we've tried to find ways to be able to do some more experimentation with the way in which we explore ideas over the weeks and months to come.
Yeah, that's right. It's always good to keep it fresh, and especially after 40 episodes now. 40, this is 40.
40, not only that, but I know next week will mark our first anniversary, the first birthday for WB40, which from its humble beginnings as a very poorly recorded piece of thing, we've managed to sort some of the audio issues out for a whole year. Well done us. Woo! But it's interesting because I think for both of us now, we're getting picking up on people who are talking about things that we've been talking about and mentioning it and talking to us face to face about how they listen to the show. And it's been nice I wanted to do this because I love radio, and it's just been really nice to be able to explore getting back into recording stuff and editing stuff and talking about ideas in different ways. But it's really nice to be able to get feedback from people when they say that it's been useful for them or entertaining, or at least they didn't hate it.
Yes, and that's only the first year. We've got many, many years of this to do, Matt.
Oh, hell yes. So, yeah, no, join us next week. Hopefully an exciting announcement. We'll see. Busy week ahead?
Yeah. Well, as we said earlier in the recording, yes, lots going on. And just hoping to get a little bit more back into a groove so that we can get towards Christmas and everybody can have a little bit of time off. So, yeah, we're heading towards that. Those shorter days, aren't we?
We are. This is the busy period of the year, isn't it? If you look at most businesses, when you're outside of working actually for an organisation, you suddenly realise that basically most of the activity in most organisations happens between about the middle of September and the middle of November. Nothing else for the rest of the year. And so if you're kind of free range like we are, this is the time when it hopefully goes a little bit crackers. And I think we're both in that at the moment, which is good. It is good. So anyway, enjoy the week, and we will see you all, or listen to you all, or you will hear us. Don't know how that works. This time next week.
So that's it for this week. If you can, drop us a like and subscribe on iTunes. You can also catch us, of course, as always, on our website, which is wb40podcast.com. And you can see us on Twitter at wb40podcast.